You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Monday's card in Roscommon. A bit of action in both cards to look forward to. Action on both the flat and over the obstacles. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very good morning, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
I am indeed, yes. Fresh and ready for another week.
Good man. We're going to look ahead to Roscommon in just a moment or two. You're in the studio as well for the next couple of days. You're all set for a busy couple of days racing?
Always, Mark, yes.
Of course.
I must admit, Mondays and Tuesdays are never normally my kind of my bag, really, some low-key stuff. But yeah, there was a bit of jump racing this afternoon, both Newton Abbott and Roscommon, so that puts a little spring in my step today.
Yeah, you're coming around to the jumps now, you're all set for the new season?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I think once the Cesaro, which is out of the way, really, and the Ascot meeting, I think it's all done dusted then for me. It'll just be ticking over until the main action starts for me, probably Cheltenham in a few weeks' time. That showcase meeting. So, that's something to look forward to on the horizon.
Good stuff.
We've still got Strictly and X Factor in between.
So life's
good at the moment.
Well, we're not talking about that. This is a racing podcast, Andy. None of that rubbish.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Momentarily lost my thread.
Yes. What did you make of Roscommon today, anyway, before we get stuck into it?
Yeah, one or two nice little races, yeah, from a betting perspective. Quite like the second race, the handicap, particularly the 3:45. That looks a good race, and the jump card doesn't look too bad either. We've got a couple of nice chases. Eagerly awaited clash between the Game Change and Size and Platinum for that Grade 3 should be a nice little spectacle.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Let's get stuck into it then. The first race is the 2:15. We start here with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Median Auction Filly's Maiden. It's over 7.5 furlongs and movements in the betting this morning. Red Stars 3-1 into 9-4. Orangey Red 100-13 to 5-2. Silver Cup's going the other way, 100-30 out to 4-1. Bob Aylin's a bit weak as well at 8s. 11s into 9s for Cajo and 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. So obviously keep an eye out for the market moves in maidens, and there's been a few this morning, Andy, so what do you make of the 2:15?
Yeah, particularly the one in the direction of Cajo. Regular podcasters will know I've got a massive amount of respect for Michael O'Callaghan. He had a lovely horse that won at Nace the other day, who defied a very poor stall position. I think he's now been sold to go to Qatar Racing, so that's an interesting little setup, and obviously Cajo, that could be okay. But the ones with form are the ones that I think we should perhaps contend with on this occasion, particularly the two that contested that race at Leopardstown, which has already thrown up a pattern win in the shape of Coolmore, of course, who won yesterday, turning the tables around with a number. Back in fourth was Red Stars, who had the benefit of a previous run, and Orangey Red was sixth, who probably out of the two of those I would take forward into today's contest, largely due to the fact that I think the step-up in trip will suit, and the visor's gone on for Dermot Wells' charter. That just might make a little bit of difference, particularly as she was running down Red Stars in that latter stage of that race. John Ox's charger was the one who made the running and cut out the pace until getting a little bit tired late on. This is going to be a more test of stamina today. It's a big uphill climb from 3 out here at Roscommon. You need something that gets home. Ideally, you want something in a good track position, so hopefully the visor will just sharpen Orangey Red out the stalls and allow it to get into a better challenging position to Red Stars than she did at Leopardstown. That's certainly the way I see it. The market tends to believe me as well. I think Orangey Red looks as though she's shortening up quite significantly in the market this morning. So I'll go with Dermot Wells, Orangey Red, to turn the tabs around with Old Adversary, Red Stars.
Orangey Red for Andy in the opener then. The second race is the 2:45. This one is a handicap over 7.5 furlongs. Tadani heads the market at 100-30. 92 for Expresso Brasileiro. 11-2 for Angel of Joy. Bobby Jean is 8-1. It's 10s for O'Jock. And 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in race number two?
Yeah, this could be the moment of truth for Expresso Brasileiro, who caught the eye here 3 starts ago. So much so that I fancied and tipped Willie McCreary's charge quite strongly at the Lestal Festival when he managed to finish third. He then ran really well at Nace the other day, but that was probably just a distance a little bit too sharp for this horse, even though he ran well and he was prominent in it. He just didn't quite have the finishing kick of the winner, Louis Leroy, from the Edward Lynham stable, who burrowed up the inside and nutted this horse in the latter stages. But it was that run at Roscommon which I'm going to concentrate on. It was over the course and distance, and this horse was hugely unlucky. Travelled really well at the back of the field from a terrible draw. Was trying to work its way through the track when getting its run stopped several times. Clearly, this track suits. The cut in the ground's fine. And like a lot of horses from the same stable, Willie McCreary's got his horse in great nick at the moment. Got a great draw today, much better than he had here the last day, where he was drawn out in the wing. He's drawn stall one today. And because he's been racing over six furlongs, his tendency to hit the stalls and get into a good position is obviously a little bit more professional than he was early on in his career. So he's now become to terms with what's required. And I really do fancy this horse today. And he's a strong, strong vote, particularly each way this morning at William Hill's top price of 9-2.
Strong vote from Andy then in race number two. Race three is the 3:15. This one is a maiden over a mile and a half. Aidan O'Brien's newcomer Prospector is the 11-8 market leader, a half brother to Master Craftsman and several other winners as well. Creative Talent 6-1, eights for Gladiator King, 9-1 for Tara Dillon. That one's a reserve though. Duke Cass is 10-1, 11s or bigger for the others. What do you make of this, Andy? Then this Aidan O'Brien newcomer at the head of the market. He's not always struck first time with his newcomers though this season.
No, he hasn't. No, you're right. And I'm certainly not going to break that particular trend by tipping this horse. First of all, he's a skinny price. Secondly, he's drawn quite poorly as well. Stall 14, Joseph O'Brien. He's got to make sure that he gets his horse out and prominent from that trap. And that won't be easy here with plenty of experienced horses inside him. I presume he'll race a little bit lazily in the early part of the race. And you can't afford to do that here at Roscommon. If you're getting behind horses, it's a bit of a mountain to climb. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with something that's had a previous run, several previous runs to be precise, but predominantly just one on the flat. And the horse in question is Gladiator King, who is mainly known for his exploits over hurdles. He's been running really well throughout the winter. He rounded off his jump campaign with a nice victory at Leopardstown in a decent little race. And I thought he ran a race full of encouragement the other day. Now, very hot race down in the stall. It was at the festival, and the ground was on the heavy side, but they went an absolute pelting gallop in that race. I got a sensational time for the front two, Robertstown and Swampfire, so much so that it was the fastest furlong per furlong time on the car, which is extraordinary for a three-year-old maiden race. It was an older horse race, main race, but the front three all were three-year-olds. So I think the front two are okay, and Gladiator King was just getting a little bit tired in the latter stage when, Frenbury took his time to ease this horse off, not want him to give him too hard a race. The better ground will suit him today. I think just on the easy side of good, he's fine. He's got a good draw, and with that run under his belt, he's bound to strip fitter. I think he'll find his company, and the way the race this develops, much more in his comfort zone. And he's 8-1 this morning. I do think this is a big each-way price for a horse who slips under the radar, rather surprisingly for a Tony Martin charge. So let's go with Gladiator King. I'm pretty convinced that Lestal race is okay, and that should be good enough to at least make him competitive here.
Gladiator King, the selection for Andy there. Then the 3:45 is race 4 on the card. This is the Athlone Apprentice Handicap. It's over a mile and a half. Several moves this morning. Lifting Me Higher, 13-2 into 5-1 favourite. Grianta, 13-2, trimmed into 11-2. It's 13-2 from 8s for Riddistan. Flannery, 10s into 8s. 10-1 for Malicious Intent. Our Rachel, another at 10-1. 11s for Torseef, and 12s or bigger for the others. You quite fancy one in here, don't you, Andy?
Absolutely, yeah. I fancy a couple, but one a little bit more stronger than the other. I'll get onto the second one in a second, but first of all, I do think that bookmakers have given us a decent opportunity to get a nice few coup d'oeil here on Gretna, particularly from an each-way perspective. Hopefully all 16 runners will get a post and we get four places, because it's very difficult to see Thomas Cleary's charge if she runs up to form, not being in the first three here. First of all, she's a course and distance winner, so that's got to stand her in good stead. It was a poignant moment for the Cleary stable when Gretna won the Sean Cleary Memorial, of course, a race named after the trainer's father. And, of course, son Rory rode the winner as well. And as this horse went past the line, he punched the air with delight. So, obviously, that was a plan well hatched. She then went to Lestal the other day, and she ran another creditable race. Unfortunately, she bumped into the very well-handicapped Sister Cartage, who, of course, won early on in the meeting and Improved even more when they stepped up in trip, but that was certainly no mean effort. This horse was one of the only few that offered any resistance in the latter stages, and that was another good run under its belt. Graham obviously was very, very testing that day, and she's not a very big filly. She's quite a small and compact type, so this slightly better ground here today, albeit on the easy side, is definitely going to suit her. And that form of that race at Roscommon back in the middle of August has worked out well, because Tachews, who finished fourth, has won subsequently. So everything looks set fair for Gretna to run really well here. I'd be amazed if she doesn't figure prominently again. Another one to mention is Our Rachel, who comes out of that race that my tip in the 3:15 was involved in, Gladiator King. She finished third behind Robertstown and Swamp Fox in that very strongly run race, and that was only her third start. Obviously, she's now handicapped. She's got a mark of 62, and looking at my speed figures, that rating looks quite lenient here. If she just knows enough and she's got enough knowledge, which is the slight question mark, I could see her running a big race as well. Drawn in stall one, she could go all the way around the inside in the hands of Gary Halpin. So that'll definitely aid her, of course. So I'd probably have to back two against the field here. Gretner would be the number one choice. But our Rachel, don't forget her either. She could outrun her odds as well.
Couple to consider there then in the 3:45. The 4:15 is the first race over the obstacles at Roscommon this afternoon. It's a good race to look forward to as well. It's Novices Chase, a grade three over 2 miles, and sizing Platinum 4-6 at the head of the market. The Game Changer is 6-4, 14-1 for King of the Picks, and Give Her Back is 22-1. It's priced up as a match, Andy. It probably is a match as well. Sizing Platinum unbeaten over fences so far, but the Game Changer's you know, he's no slouch either. So how do you see it going in the 4:15?
Yeah, this was quite a difficult one, this. They're both very smart horses for this time of year. And they've both got bright futures as well. The one, arguably, with the more scope, you'd have to say, is Sizing Platinum. I don't think the Game Changer is going to be, you know, mixing it at the very top table once the winter and darker months become, because he's very much a good ground horse. And I think Gordon Elliott will be looking to keep him to the spring festivals, perhaps at Cheltenham or maybe Aintree when it dries out. And he's very much a flat track horse, Game Changer, as he proved last time at Galway, when he looked like he was going to get the better of his old adversary, rock the world, only for Jessica Harrington's charge just to outstay him up the hill. That was the problem, 2 mile 2 on a stiff track. He's not necessarily his bag, but, you know, going around the sharp contours of Roscommon, as he's already proven this season, is very much his bag. He beat rock the world when he last shipped up here, and you know, I wouldn't put it past him if he actually was to beat Sizing Platinum, albeit, like I say, I think Sizing Platinum is the better horse of the two. Henry de Romain's charge has got a victory over the Rock the World on his CV also. He also did some damage to that horse, similarly at the same track as well, over the same distance. He jumped beautifully in the hands of Johnny Burke, and that's the thing with Henry de Romain's horses. He's novice chasers always know their job. They always got great techniques, and if he just gets into good rhythm around this track, which he should do, he might just be too strong for the Game Changer. So it's a really interesting matchup. It wouldn't surprise me either way which way this race has fallen. But obviously, if you're asking me for selection, then I'll probably have to go for Sizing Platinum on this occasion.
Sizing Platinum then on this occasion for Andy. The 4:45 is the sixth race on the card. This one is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Shield is the 11-4 favourite, 7-2 for Old Supporter. Tavern Times is 9-2. It's 7-1 for Column's Dream. 10s for PLO and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who catches your eye in the 4:45, Andy?
Yeah, I'll probably just stick with the obvious choice here. Front runners very much dominate this track. It's a track which does reward horses that jump well and get into a good rhythm. And with that in mind, Old Supporter clearly stands out here. He's just a superb horse to watch when he's in full cry. And like I say, his jumping is just something to behold. He takes length out of his rivals, and he did that at Tremor 2 starts ago, and he followed that up at Killarney the other day. And that's a good thing for him. He's a 10-year-old now, and he's not getting any quicker. But horses just find it very, very difficult to keep up with him because of his jumping. And I think he should make all here, or go very close to making all. As the Peak is an old favourite of ours, but I'm not sure whether this track will suit him. He's the opposite. He wants a more galloping track, and to see his fences, they come at him quite quickly, he tends to struggle. Shield will obviously be very popular for punters who follow the J.P. McManus Silks, obviously Barry Geraghty on board for Aidan O'Brien. And he didn't run too badly the day behind subsequent winner Abarta, of course, followed up with his victory down in Ballinrobe the other day. So the form of that race looks quite good as well. So quite an interesting little handicap chase here, but I think he's got to be Old Supporter for me to complete the hat-trick.
Old Supporter to complete the hat-trick then in the 4:45. The penultimate race is the 5:15. This is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. Rocky Blyer is 13-8. It's 7-2 for Time for Action. Edith Somerville 4-1. 5's for Pedro. He's our Robin, is 13-2, and it's 7-1 or bigger prices for the others. This market leader's quite interesting, Andy Rocky Blair, a three-time winner on the flat, only had six starts, moved to Alan Fleming, whose yard are in pretty good nick at the moment. What would you make of him on hurdle debut?
Yeah, I mean, he should really take this race, because I thought, looking at the ones who've had a run, this is quite a weak affair. Horses that are rated in around the 100 mark wouldn't necessarily be sending you know, shockwaves down the back of Alan Fleming here, as he unleashes his 93-rated flat horse, Rocky Blair, as you mentioned, is making the debut for the new stable. He's a really nice big unit as well, and he's always looked as though he'd make a nice hurdler. He used to be trained by Will Farrell, of course, who he got him to win on his last two starts. That's at Navan and Nace, respectively. That race that he won when we last saw him a year ago was a decent handicap, and he came from a long, long way back, so he's obviously got loads of ability. Added to that, as you mentioned, Mark, the stable is in fantastic form. Taliva won from the other day down in Ballinrobe. Chain Gang won a national flat race at Listowel, and horses like Tully East, who won at the same track, and Volian and Boris de Blay have all been flying the flag for this stable. So he's had five winners, really, in the last week or so, to suggest that that yard is absolutely on fire, and they certainly know the time of day. So it's basically this horse is to lose, I think, with a clear round here win. And of course, he's jumping brush hurdles as well, which I've always maintained is a slightly easier option for these horses when they're making their debut. It doesn't put quite so much strain and so much emphasis on their technique as it would do with the timber hurdle. So if it's down to pure ability, then Rocky Blair has got it in spades here, and I expect him to land yet another punt for this informed stable.
Rocky Blair then in the 5.15. The 5.45 is the final race on the card, and we finish here with a 2-mile bumper. Last Goodbye is the 9-4 favourite at the time of recording this. 7-2 for Tango Tango Oscar. Dandy Bridge is 9-2 with Earth Sister. 9-1 for Killahara Castle, and 14s or bigger for the others. Who do you side with in the lucky last?
Yeah, not much to go on here. Those with form have just shown modicums of ability rather than any great massive amount of encouragement. Last Goodbye would probably be the pick of them from the Liz Dawes stable. That stable, of course, is always synonymous with bumper horses, and this gelding by Millenary has got every chance in what looks a weak race. But then we go on to the unraced brigades, such as Dandy Bridge, Tango Tango Oscar, and the interesting one here for me would be Earth Sister, probably because it's trained by Peter Fye, who's definitely making a name for himself with one or two horses of a similar ilk in recent years. And he's also in good form as well, generally speaking. He's been having a really good time of it of late. And of course, Jenny's Child won for him yesterday at the Curra to back up that theory. Katie Walsh has been booked as well. I always think that when these yards go out their way to get decent pilots, they obviously fancy their chances. So it's a little bit of a hunch more than anything else, putting two and two together and coming up with hopefully two, not three. And Earth Sister in the colours of Alton Bay hopefully should go well there for connections on her debut.
Okay, Earth Sister friendly then in the lucky last. Let's just have a quick summary as usual, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, not a bad little day today at Roscommon. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you'll be able to see some of the action, even though we're not covering it on William Hill Radio Live. You'll get my thoughts in the shed as the day continues. But for now, I'm going to go with Orangey Red in the first. Quite like the chances of Espresso Brasileiro, if you can get that 9-2 each way in the 2.45. Gladiator King ran really well in a hot race down in Listowel the other day, and a reproduction of that run on slightly better ground today should be good enough to see him competitive there. 3.45, 2 against the field. Gretna, the course and distance winner, and R. Rachel, who also ran well in that Listowel maiden that Gladiator King performed well in. The big clash of the day is in the 4.15 for the Grade 3 between the Game Changer and Sizing Platinum, and I'll go with Henry de Bromhead's Charge. All supporters in great form at the moment, and hopefully he'll run his rival Silly once again in the 4.45. Probably one of the best and most reliable shortest price favourites of the day is Rocky Blair from an informed stable in that maiden hurdle. And in the final race, just a little bit of a chance is taken on Earth Sister being good enough first time out for Peter Fahey.
Fantastic. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck. Enjoy what you see of Roscommon, and we'll look forward to hearing you this afternoon on Racing Radio.
Yeah, look forward to it. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.